take your hands off that mute button, because the Lotus Effect is coming up right fucking now!
This is a new live son of a bitch.
Bull frickin' horse shit.
I hate to go all technical on you, but all hands on deck, swirly thing alert.
Attention.
Listen, you motherfuckers.
Buckle up, pedal heads.
You're experiencing the Lotus Effect with Phoenix and Phone Boy.
I have come here to chew bubblegum and kick ass. And I'm all out of bubblegum.
It's a bold strategy, Cotton. Let's see if it pays off for him.
You are my podcast, my only podcast. So if you fucking take my podcast away, I'm going to shove my foot so far up your ass.
It is out of sheer morbid curiosity I'm allowing this freak show to continue.
How do you fix that, though?
Take a big step back and literally
suck my dick.
Are you interested? I know you are, because it's fuck or walk.
You're shitting me.
Have you made your decision for Christ?
To tell you the truth, I don't give a shit.
Well, you know who else doesn't give a shit?
Phoenix and Phone Boy?
Ah, not them again!
Oh, they're horrible.
I don't know what the fuck you're talking about.
Right.
Yeah, you know exactly. After 222 episodes of The Lotus Effect, you know exactly what we're talking about. We're talking about the one, the only, the show that is made up with the content that doesn't matter. We provisionally show titled it Randomly Brilliant because that really describes how things have kind of occurred this week. There have been many random brilliant occurrences. So with that, we're going to get into this shit because
we're the best, we're the beautiful, we're the only
Lotus Effect, and I'm Phoenix.
And guess what? I'm Phone Boy.
He's back. Kicking bottom or what?
Oh, you didn't know. You won't. Yeah. Just you wait, folks. Yeah, we are kicking ass and taking names. We'd like to welcome our Apple Podcast listeners. And if anybody's listening on Spotify, well, you can't listen anymore because we took the show off the day.
Because fuck Spotify.
Because fuck Spotify. Well, all right. We'll talk about that in Toast and Jam, I guess. Because, yeah.
We will totally talk about it because now is not the time, or maybe it is, to freak out.
What is this, a freak out?
This is kind of strange.
This is terrific.
I think I'm gonna be sick.
Not a speck of light is showing, so the danger must be growing. Are the fires of hell aglowing? Is the grisly reaper mowing? Yes! The danger must be growing, for the rowers keep on rowing, and they're certainly not showing any signs that they are slowing!
We're there.
I just had an orgasm.
The guy is jizzing all over himself.
I'm freaking out, man.
You are freaking out, man.
And you know, it's funny. Speaking of freaking out, that's clip montage is exactly why we have decided to part ways with Spotify, because after more than 100 episodes of the usage of that clip montage that we so artfully crafted, some cunt AI at Spotify decided to flag it as a potentially copyrighted issue and threatened to take the episode down, and we made the joint decision that, well, you know what? Why don't we just do it for you? And while we're at it, why don't we take all of our episodes down from all of the shows that we have uploaded? So, fuck you, Spotify. Burn to the ground. We don't give two shits. This is what you get when you focus on AI. Now, if what I'm telling you is pissing you off, that's fantastic. Give us some feedback about it, because whatever you got to say about what we're doing, well, we want to hear about it.
I got mail. Yay!
I got you a dollar.
Now, of course, you know, we put a lot of time and a lot of our energy and talent. So, you know, there's your three T's, time, talent, and treasure. It's called the value for value model. Yeah, we put a lot of all of that into getting this show ready for you. And we finally made it fun again, which is why I don't sound like a depressed millennial. But anyway, we don't focus on the treasure so much around here because money is truly not that big of a deal for us. It's really about the human connection. But if you would like to put a little bit of your Fiat Fund coupons toward keeping our show on the air, because we entertain you in some way, we educate you, whatever it is, you can go to lotuseffect.show, click on the green We Like Money button, and you can, through the vig of PayPal, send us some Fiat Fund coupons, some of your gold pressed platinum. You can also use Cash App, which I like very much. We have the cash tag of $TheLotusEffect33. So you can send us some value through your financial treasure. Now, of course, we did have a wonderful donation from none other than Mama T, and that makes her...
Oh, you're the executive producer.
That's right. She sent us $5 and she said, really enjoyed today's show, especially the communication part about the transatlantic cable. Reminded me of the days of listening to shortwave, ship-to-shore calls and all that stuff. Variety is good. We agree.
Yeah, that came in at the end of last week's show, and I meant to mention it during Studio 33 or something, but anyway, here it is.
I think it's better to have it mentioned right here.
Yeah, I agree.
Because everybody can hear about it now, and, you know, we thank you, Mama T. You are a wonderful pedal head. Now, as we said, we don't focus so much about the money. We understand that times are very lean right now, and God knows, with all the shit that our current government is up to and other countries, I don't see things getting too much better too fast. However, because we do put a significant investment into the show, and we would like to get some value back, the thing we find most valuable is that let us know you're listening. It only takes a moment or two. We call it sending the ack back. And there's a few ways that you can do it. We always say subscribe to the podcast. However you're putting us in your ears, whatever app you're using, find, follow, rate, and review. We would love to have some numbers to let us know that you are standing up and proudly proclaiming, I am a pedalhead. Now, of course, we have Apple Podcasts that we promote because, well, we have Tom Collins' dick securely shoved up our asses. Fuck Spotify, but wherever else you get your podcast, I'm having a Boston moment. Wherever you get your podcast app from that can get an RSS feed, just let us know, you know, ding the bell, whatever it is. Let us know you're out there. One of the other ways that you can let us know and send the act back is on this wonderful, the only social media platform that we promote here at The Lotus Effect, and that is...
Mastodon!
That's right. The massive dong. He is at phoneboy at lotuseffect.social. I'm at Phoenix, P-H-E-O-N-I-X at lotuseffect.social. We check regularly. We stroll around on the socials and see who's posted what memes. And we get the messages from you pedalheads letting us know maybe about something you found that you might like us to cover on the show. Again, if it's something that sparks our interest, like Weirdo, when we did 2.5 Bens last night, Weirdo threw a link for a story in the chat that we kind of on the fly just gave a little once over and mentioned. So, you know, if you've got something like that and you're on the massive dong, hit either one of us up and let us know you like us, you love us. And like Chris Abrams said, love you, brother. You're just a little too offensive. So, and he said that to Phoneboy, more or less. He doesn't listen because we use the F word too much. But hey, fuck it. We still love him. Now, if you want to send us email, you can do so at feedback@lotuseffect.show. We monitor that. We also still have I don't give a fuck at lotuseffect.show. But sadly, nobody seems to use that. But anyway.
Yeah, because they don't give a fuck either.
That's exactly why. Now, you can also send us something physical media-wise, you know. So, if you want to send us a snail mail, hit us up in the back channel. We'll give you an address, and you can show us some value in that way. One of the best things, my favorite, join the chat sometime. We do Rideshare Radio on Fridays when we're not doing 2.5 Bens, so every other week. That starts at 9 p.m. Eastern, 8 Central, and then followed by Lotus After Dark, where we play some music, maybe some Cards Against Humanity, and basically shoot the shit. Saturdays at 5 Eastern is where we start this particular shit show, followed by the music request show, Studio 33. And you can get details on how to join all of that debauchery at lotuseffect.live. Now, another way to share some feedback is to call 253-237-3321.
One ringy dingy. Two ringy dingy.
Dell Computers, this is Chip.
I'm sorry, sir, but that line is boozy.
Yes, it is boozy. It is Google Voice, and it mangles transcripts like phone boy mashes mute buttons. So do make sure to call 253-237-3321 to give us feedback or to answer our weigh-in topic for the week, because we definitely want it to mangle your transcript and make you into a show title. Now, this week, we wanted to know, ice cream, do you prefer hard or soft serve? So call 253-237-3321 and tell us which you prefer. And next week, we want to know what your favorite, wow, there goes my dentures again, what your favorite ice cream flavor is. So that's next week's topic. But this week, hard or soft? Do you like it hard, baby? Or is it a little softer? Call 253-237-3321 and let us know, how do you like your ice cream? Now, I think we've explained ourselves pretty well. It might just be time to take it from Dr. Johnny Fever.
So just sit right down, relax, open your ears real wide and say, give it to me straight, doctor, I can take it.
Yeah, but we ain't taking this.
We don't want your shit.
We still send us your shit.
That's right. Be respectful when you give feedback. Do not be racist. That's my job. And just all around, don't be a dickhead. You know what I'm saying? There's busting balls, and then there's going too far. And if you cross a line, yeah, you're going to find out about it. Because I have been known to possibly have a very strong opinion. It's been rumored.
Oh, no, 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 no. Yes.
That's right. So because I'm one of the stars of this piece of shit, I'm just giving you the forewarning that please be respectful. Otherwise, shut the fuck up. And oh, by the way, we do not authorize our content to be scraped or otherwise used to train AI. Any use of our content against our wishes and policies will be met with resistance of the legal type. Thank you. Disclaimer over. Let's take it from Mr. Leslie Nielsen.
I just want to tell you both good luck. We're all counting on you.
I'm not sure what you're counting on us to do, but
have a great goddamn time. I'll tell you that.
Yeah, well,
much.
That's exactly. Yeah, a lot of twos. Because so we did episode 22 of Two and a Half Bens last night, so we have a lot of twos today, or a row of twos, in fact.
And if you missed Two and a Half Bens last night, oh my gosh, it was beyond hilarious and fun.
All right, yes. Meanwhile, let's get on to this shit show, which will never, ever, ever be
brought to you by Pfizer.
Now, Okay, so, one of the things we're all about here at the Lotus Effect is coffee. How coffee reshapes the gut-brain axis and lifts mood, even without caffeine. Oh, and I have to play the clip. Oh, my goodness. Yes, let's play the clip.
Drink the coffee, it'll make you feel better.
Yeah, I forget I'm having the one have to play the clip now. From the Black Coffee Matters Department. Yeah. For Sir Bemers, of course. New research from APC Microbiome Ireland, a research center at University College Cork, has comprehensively explored the mechanisms behind coffee's positive effects on the gut-brain axis for the first time. The study, published in Nature Communications, reveals how regular consumption of both caffeinated and decaffeinated coffee can affect the gut microbiome and in turn influence mood and stress levels.
Well, okay, so the fact that your gut has a mucosal lining, which is very easy to breach the barrier of, so to speak, all that caffeine's racing into your bloodstream. Oh, yeah. Try not having your coffee and see what your mood does.
Oh, you betcha. So, the benefits of coffee for both digestion and mood have been widely studied, but the exact mechanisms behind these effects have remained unclear. This research investigated how coffee consumption affects the microbiota gut-brain axis, the bidirectional communication between the gut microbiome and the brain, through a wide range of measures. Now, there are groups of 31 coffee drinkers and 31 non-coffee drinkers were closely studied through a series of psychological tests, caffeine and food diaries, and stool and urine samples to understand changes in their microbiome and perceived mood or stress. Yeah, okay, I don't even want to know how that looks. Coffee drinkers were said as those who regularly consumed 3 to 5 cups a day, defined by the European Food Safety Safety Authority, EFSA, as a safe and moderate amount for most people.
Okay, question. How large were the cups?
Well, we would hope that they're 8 ounces because that's what a standard cup is. But my guess is, no, they're probably, I don't know. I mean, they didn't say, so.
Well, I mean, to be honest, if you say to me, hey, what is your standard size cup of coffee? I'm immediately going to be like 30 ounce Trenta because I am shameless and reuse my Starbucks cups. And yeah, that's a matter of fact. Look at that. I've got one sitting next to me now. So that's why I asked, like, how big is that cup for these people? Are we going standard 8 or... Anyways, proceed.
We don't know. Participants first abstained from coffee for 2 weeks. Ow, yeah, that's rough. With regular psychological assessments as well as stool and urine samples throughout, the period of abstinence for coffee drinkers corresponded with significant changes in metabolite profiles in the gut microbiome compared to non-coffee drinkers.
Also realizing, A, how are they taking their coffee? Okay, black or cream, sugar, otherwise. Also the fact, remember, coffee is an acidic beverage, so it's definitely going to have a natural change of the gut microbiome.
Well, you would make sense. So coffee was reintroduced to regular drinkers on a blinded basis, with half the participants consuming decaffeinated coffee and the other half caffeinated coffee.
Oh, bullshit. Blind my asshole. As a coffee drinker, I'm going to tell you, and I think every coffee drinker out there can agree with me, there ain't no blind about it. You can taste the difference between regular and decaffeinated.
Yes. Both groups reported lower perceived stress, depression, and impulsivity scores, suggesting that drinking coffee significantly improved mood regardless of caffeine content. Now, how are they decaffeinating the coffee, too? That's a whole other question, right?
True, but okay, so let's just take for a moment, because I don't really consider the consumption of my coffee to be something I do because, oh, I need the caffeine. Because honestly, if you drink the same kind of amount, of water, shut the fuck up. Basically, you know, coffee is water. It's just filtered through bean fragments. But seriously, the same effect on your body occurs metabolically to wake you up by drinking just like cold water as it does drinking coffee. So I don't buy into necessarily that it's the caffeine that is, you know, yeah, it'll kickstart your gut. You know, about 30 minutes after you have your first coffee, you're like, excuse me, Bob, gotta go.
Even
30 minutes.
Yeah, I was going to say, usually it's right before it comes. It's like, oh, by the way, I already know you're going to add caffeine to the colon. So yeah, let's just get the shit out of here.
Oh, for sure. But what I'm saying basically is that I think where I was going with that, to be honest, was just the act of drinking the coffee for me. I mean, it's not like I have any, you know, sugar laden whatever. My coffee literally is just heavy cream and bean juice, jitter liquid. So there's not a sugar addict element to that bliss that I feel when I consume the coffee. And I don't think it has anything to do with the caffeine. I don't know why. It just is what it is. And yes, different coffees most assuredly hit me differently as far as how they affect my overall mood. And I think that has something to do with the energy of where the beans come from.
Well, probably so. Yeah, I mean, we have lots of different types of beans in the house. And yeah, and everyone's a little different. And sometimes even just my taste buds are like, well, that tastes different. You know, and it's just where I'm at. So, okay, so a notable improvement in learning and memory was found only in those who consumed decaffeinated coffee, suggesting that components other than caffeine, such as polyphenols, are responsible for these cognitive benefits. However, in this study, the researchers found that only caffeinated coffee was associated with reduced feelings of anxiety, as well as improved vigilance and attention. Caffeine was also linked to a reduced risk of inflammation. Now, looking into it a bit more, coffee has a lot of things, a lot of antioxidants and the compounds that help protect the body from free radicals. And free radicals are atoms that attack the body and cause oxidative stress. Yeah, like seed oils, you know, which may damage important molecules like proteins and DNA. Yeah, well, maybe you shouldn't have seed oils either. A 2022 study isolated more than 136 bioactive compounds in coffee, most of which are actually antioxidants, right? Coffee contains over 100 polyphenols, which are antioxidant compounds like phenolic acids and flavonoids, and these may help protect against oxidative stress. It could lead to neurodegenerative and chronic conditions like obesity, cardiovascular disease, type 2 diabetes, and some cancers. I don't know. Yeah, I mean, seriously, like, coffee's, I mean, outside of water, coffee's probably one of the healthiest things you can drink. And yeah, okay, if you got some sensitivity to caffeine, maybe not, but...
It's when you start adding in all of the garbage, the flavorings, the sugars. Some people would even argue, you know, the diehard black coffee drinkers would even argue adding cream is a sacrilege. But it is the least worst option, I would imagine.
Yes, it is. I pretty much. So, I know some people keeps them up at night. Yeah, I think I figured out a long time ago that it ain't the coffee that keeps me up or not necessarily.
I was going to say, you know what keeps me up at night? My fucking brain when it won't shut off.
Yeah, exactly.
And that has nothing to do with the coffee.
No, it doesn't. All right, I think I'm done with my first story. So now it is your turn.
Ooh, lucky me, lucky me. So I am going to present the first story, and it's going to make the men out there probably cringe, and that's okay, because sometimes you just gotta hit a guy where it counts. So, I'm gonna tell y'all about the 5 most common sex injuries that send people to the hospital, according to ER doctors. So sex lands people in the ER more often than most would imagine. Some of the injuries are just terrible luck. Others kind of require more involved explanations, for sure. Either way, doctors say the real problem isn't the injury itself, it's the time people spend and wait to get the help that they need in these situations because they're embarrassed. Most of them are preventable, and none of them should be a source of shame. Okay, we all have sex. Sometimes things happen. So, the bottom line is if it feels wrong, you have pain, bleeding, swelling, or an object that won't come out of you, just go to the ER. They're not going to judge you. Your friends might, but the doctors won't. So the first thing that I'm going to highlight here is that, yes, you can actually break your dick. It's actually as dramatic as it sounds. A loud crack, immediate swelling, and a lot of panic. It happens when the penis slips out during thrusting and hits your partner's pelvis with force. It tears the fibrous sheath surrounding the erectile tissue. And if you delay care, you're probably looking at a permanent curvature, painful erections, or long-term erectile dysfunction. This is one of those sexual injuries where time really does matter.
Hey, Sharon, look! My dick doesn't work!
Oh, wow!
Yeah,
you don't want your dick not to work. The second one I'm going to point out here is, folks, I'm looking a lot at you women, a few of you guys, stop fucking putting food where it doesn't belong. It's not a dildo. This is not fun with fruits and vegetables hour. Cucumbers, carrots. Guys, I don't want to know why you're putting pencils in your peckers. Okay? That's not the definition of pencil dick. I don't know how many times we got to tell you this. And these are just a few examples of things that people have had removed from their orifices. Now, anatomy is very important when we talk about this because the vaginal canal is a closed space. And the rectum creates suction and has no anatomical stop, meaning things can travel further in than you mean them to. Guys, for the love of God, please stop shoving rods in your own. Just don't do it. Stop putting things in there. That is an out-only hole. I'm not even a guy. I'm just like, stop doing that. Another thing y'all gotta stop doing. Because we women do not appreciate friction-related vaginal tears. They send a lot of women to the ER, especially postmenopausal women. You guys have got to figure out you cannot go in for ramming speed without making sure the tunnel's ready to receive. A little spit lube, maybe some silicone because that water base, like, wears off too quick. It only takes a moment to make sure that your woman is comfortable during the experience. You selfish pricks, it's not all about you. So, now that I'm done berating you men, this is a very scary and uncomfortable experience for a woman. And you don't want that, you know? You have bleeding that won't stop, severe pain, clotting. You might even get lightheaded. And if those things happen, you definitely need to get yourself to the ER as soon as possible and kick him right in the dick. Now, another injury that's less common, but it's not rare, is torsion. This happens during sex when the spermatic cord twists and cuts off the blood flow. It's a sudden and sharp testicular pain, usually followed by the exclamation,
"Oh, my Sharif, my balls!"
This should be treated as an emergency until proven otherwise, because you only have between 4 and 6 hours to save your affected testicle if this happens. Do not become old Johnny One Ball, guys. You don't want to lose one of the twins. Again, guys, stop, for the love of myself. Please stop putting things in your ass.
Okay, that does it. Now listen, why is it that everything today has involved things either going in or coming out of my ass?
Things like pet gerbils, light bulbs, vibrators. Guys, just get a partner or a hooker, for fuck's sake. These items go in, they're not easily coming back out. The gerbil's gonna die, the light bulb's gonna break, and you're gonna bleed from your asshole. You're probably gonna require surgery, people are gonna find out, and they're definitely gonna laugh. TLDR, folks, all the laughing and crudeness aside, if something feels wrong, it's painful, it's bleeding, it's swelling, or you have an object that you've inserted somewhere that you probably shouldn't, and it doesn't want to come out, don't be embarrassed, just go to the ER, don't wait. Trust me, they have seen it all, and they will keep your situation private. They may snicker in the staff room amongst themselves, but they'll give you the dignity and respect that you deserve, even if you do have a jelly jar up there. That's all I got for him, boy.
Oh, my goodness. Well, that's, I don't know. Yeah, I'm sitting here, I'm going, no, we're not doing that. I guess if ramming speed could fuck you up if you're not careful.
What I think is funny is I made that advance warning to all the guys that they were going to be doubled over in pain, and 3 guys showed up in the chat and immediately started chatting. I just don't find a coincidence there. What's going on, boys?
Yeah, there you go. Well, all right. Now the trolls are out tonight. All right. So I have my next story. The headline for this is cutting calories to slow aging without compromising health.
Give us a week, we'll take off the weight.
Restricting calorie intake in species such as mice, rhesus monkeys, and fruit flies have been shown to extend their lifespans. In some cases, these animals not only live longer, but are also free of disease. But when pushed too far, calorie restriction can have negative effects. Well, no shit. Mice that undergo a 40% reduction in calorie intake, for example, are more susceptible to infections, less likely to reproduce, and experience stunted growth. Again, well, no shit. Scientists have wondered whether there is a way to reap the longevity benefits of calorie restriction in humans without its negative repercussions. And in a new study in Nature's Aging, they found a potential answer in an immune-related protein called complement component 3, or C3. Yale researchers have previously shown that people who undergo moderate calorie restriction, a 14% reduction in calorie intake for 2 years, developed better immune defenses without any growth or reproductive trade-offs. Now, this concept demonstrates that aging is actually malleable and a process that can be targeted, says, Vishwa Deep Dixit, PhD, Valdemar von Zetweist, professor of pathology.
What, Voldemort? What the fuck? Yeah. There's some Harry Potter shit going on over there.
Yeah, exactly. Anyway, a bunch of people at the Yale School of Medicine. Now, you don't see my copy paste mistakes now when I make them, which I just did. All right. So,
which means that's 2 for the weekend.
Yes. Exactly.
You really need to start proofreading. Do I have to start proofreading your script? My goodness.
No, anyway, calorie restriction calorie restriction.
Sorry, I got to break forth on this. Cotton Gin just slammed it home. He said, can the Yale School of Medicine do a study on the wetness of water?
Yeah, exactly.
Beautifully.
Yeah. In the new study, Dixon and his colleague at YSM analyzed the plasma and samples of 42 individuals who took part in a 2-year trial called the Comprehensive Assessment of Long-Term Effects of Reducing Intake of Energy, or calorie, with an E as opposed to an O.
I don't think there's a coincidence in that there were 42 participants, because they're trying to, you know,
yeah,
they're trying to figure out the answer to life, the universe, and everything. Without sugar.
Yeah, it's something along those lines. It's the only trial of its kind that has been done with such rigor and control and demonstrates relevance to human physiology, Dixit says. During the trial, participants were able to reduce their calorie intake by 11 to 14% without feeling deprived. In their analysis, the researchers detected more than 7,000 proteins in the longitudinal plasma samples.
Okay, does it say what they were eating?
No.
Okay, so think about it. If they are decreasing by that massive amount and not feeling deprived, there's got to be some substitution for whatever it is that they're taking away from them without adding to the caloric balance. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I think so. Let's see if I can figure out where we're at here. Okay. Among them was an immune-related protein called C3 that was significantly reduced following calorie restriction. Now, C3 was of particular interest to the scientists, as prior studies have suggested that activation of the complement system, a network of proteins involved in the defense against pathogens, could drive chronic inflammation, a major hallmark of aging and age-related diseases. But the causal effects of C3, or the causal effects of C3 in aging and chronic inflammation have not been identified. So we were very excited to find that in our study, says somebody, I think, that has a Korean name, it looks like, a PhD doctoral associate in the Dixit lab and a co-first author of the paper. Now, when comparing the protein levels before and after 2 years of calorie restriction, the researchers identified white adipose tissues, the main type of fat tissue in mammals, as the primary site affected by calorie restriction. Again, you're losing weight. And that's where most of your weight is stored. The excess weight. So, again, the water is wet. Now, the researchers confirmed their findings in animals. And as with the human plasma, they found that C3 expression increased with age in mice. Further biochemical analyses showed that visceral white adipose tissue was responsible for an increase in C3 during aging. Now, the question is whether the benefits gained from a reduction in C3 can be achieved without weight loss. Why not? You know, why without weight loss? What's the problem with having a little less weight on your body? Okay, well,
nothing.
Okay, well, just wait. It'll reveal itself just a moment here.
But wait, there's more.
Now, the researchers initially suspected that the shedding of adipose tissue or body fat due to weight loss may have stalled C3 production and slowed down the aging process. After all, most of the study participants lost about 18 pounds after 2 years of moderate calorie restriction. Well, that seems to make sense. However, when the researchers analyzed the body mass index of the study participants, they did not observe any correlation between weight loss and a decrease in complement proteins. Womp womp. Further, when the researchers inhibited C3 activation using a drug to mimic the effect of calorie restriction, the mice experienced less age-related inflammation. Now, the researchers, here's the kicker on this. The researchers are now investigating whether they could hold back C3 production to slow down aging in humans using FDA-approved inhibitor drugs.
This is such a drug fucking ad.
Yes, it is. But
womp womp.
I had to get it to that point and go, yeah. Because we all know that fasting is not a bad thing for health.
The trick to longevity is a term called hormesis, which is a little bit of stress on your body, biological stress. So running, bit of hunger, cold heat, puts your body in a state of perceived adversity. So you don't have to hurt yourself, but you put your body in a kind of a scared state. Oh my goodness, I could die if this continues. And then they turn on these defenses against aging. So we have these genes that get turned on. Some of them that we work on are called sirtuins. And so by being hungry, we've shown that you turn these on and then your body defends itself. If you sit around and you eat constantly, they don't work very hard.
Really?
And your clock ticks faster.
Yeah, and so, yeah, I mean, and we've played other clips about fasting. This is one of those topics we've covered. I mean, you know, when I was looking for clips for this particular story, I was like, we did a fasting episode probably in the, you know, I don't know, in the 40s or something like that in terms of episode numbers. I couldn't tell you, but
yeah, and we're still very much proponents of it.
Yes, exactly. So, yeah, I think there's something to be said for, yeah, you don't always have to be eating all the time because your body is meant to, actually, and it's one of the most natural things. Fuck, it's in religions, right? I mean, they have prescribed periods of fasting.
Lent, even.
Yeah, well, exactly. And if you can survive that, you know, if you can survive that, yeah, probably, for that to have survived as long as it did, yeah, it had to have been something that people were doing and it was okay for them. They didn't have any issues. Well, you know, just because modern medical science, which we know is funded by, you know, Pfizer, right? And some of these big companies that benefit from the current system. Yeah. Yeah. They don't want you to learn that you don't need their shit to actually get healthy.
Yeah, because it's only, I think after 8 hours, your body starts to repair itself. And the longer you fast, the more benefits occur. I mean, obviously, you have to be strict on your fast if you want it to be effective. You can't cheat. There are no shortcuts in life.
No.
But it's not going to hurt you if every 8 hours or however often you're not filling your face. And it also, you know, great to fast, but if all you're doing is eating shit food, you're probably not going to get the benefits that you're hoping to get. It's not a cure-all for, oh, if my body's going to repair itself by me fasting, I can eat these 5 Big Macs, and then I'll just fast on, you know, Tuesday.
Of course, I wouldn't be eating the Big Macs because you don't know if they're actually real beef anymore, but that's a whole different discussion.
Oh, God, no, especially since everything's genetically modified anymore and manufactured, and how about no?
Yeah, well, I think there's a reason we're doing what we're doing, but we'll get to that in the middle part of the show.
We will.
All right, so I'm done with that story, and so we've got one more before we hit the cavalcade of stupidity. So, it's your story.
All right, this one kind of surprised me when I came across it because it's a name that might be familiar to some folks, others maybe not, depending on, you know, age or, you know, how much you've paid attention, because Elizabeth Smart has won a fitness competition, and she said, "I'm so proud of my body, and I want to celebrate it." Let's get physical. I wanna get physical. So Elizabeth Smart is showing her strength inside and out. The child safety advocate who survived a 2002 kidnapping as a teen won first place in the Fit Model Novice category at the Wasatch Warrior Bodybuilding and Fitness Competition in Salt Lake City over the weekend. It was actually her fourth time competing, but she said she was too afraid to post about any of the previous wins. Or competition, sorry. So the image of the mom of three looking svelte in a navy bikini and posing on stage comes as a shock to many of her followers, and she herself admitted never in 100 years would she have ever envisioned doing something like this.
Surprise, motherfucker.
So she'd worried that publicizing her interest in bodybuilding might make people perceive her as unworthy to continue work as an advocate for all survivors. But after the competition, in which she ranked third in the Fit Model Masters 35 plus category, the 38-year-old decided to reclaim her narrative as a survivor of sexual assault more than 2 decades after she was rescued from her abductors. She said, "I'm interested in many things, and as I get older, I realize more and more how important it is to make the most of today. We don't know what tomorrow brings. I don't want to reach the end of my life and look back and feel regret for only living a half life, not going after all the things I want to do and try." And this was a big change for her. It was hard, and it pushed her to and challenged her to never give up. So for those of you who don't know, in 2002, Smart was kidnapped from her bedroom and held captive by 2 really shitty fucking people for 9 agonizing months. She spent shackled and subjected to daily sexual assault. And that's why now competing as a bodybuilder provides a unique way of healing from that traumatic experience for her. Like I said in the beginning, she claims that she's very proud of her body and wants to celebrate it. My body has carried me through every worst day, every hellish, grueling experience. It's created and nurtured three beautiful children. My body has risen to every single challenge life has presented it with and carried me through, so I refuse to be ashamed of it. I refuse to feel embarrassed about trying something new, and I'm embracing my change at life to the absolute fullest I can.
Yeah, that sounds like a great story.
I loved it. I was like, oh my God, this picture. I should include the picture in the show notes. Holy shit. First of all, fuck me, she's tall. Okay. But three kids? And this, you could fry a fucking egg on the washboard stomach this woman has. She looks phenomenal. And good for her, the hell she went through at the hands of those two fucking degenerate bastards. Ugh. To rise above.
Yeah, well fucking done. I gotta agree. So, all right, I think it is time for the we've gotten to the middle part of the show, and it is time for the Cavalcade of Stupidity.
Hidey ho, pedal heads, and welcome to Sir Reverend Cybertrucker's Cavalcade of Stupidity. And since I'm MIA, here's Phone Boy to take over.
All right. Well, here we are. We have a Rev is being a good nephew this with the
yeah. Apparently, his he's got a family member with a flooded basement, so he's got to rush over and be Superman, which is awesome. So we've got it covered.
Yeah, exactly. So anyway, I didn't do the lookup for There I Ruined It, which we've played them on Studio 33 and such. They one of our favorite ones. This was something Sir Bemrose had brought to our attention. What Red Hot Chili Peppers sound like to those who don't like the Red Hot Chili Peppers. But we're gonna do that instead with AC/DC, which we do like here in Shea Lotus.
Castle Lotus.
Yes. So we're gonna play the what AC/DC sounds like to people who don't like AC/DC.
I don't think that was necessarily as good as the Chili Peppers one, if I'm honest. But, I mean, hey, they can't all be bangers, right?
Exactly. Well, anyway, there we go. I think, actually, you had pulled this one in.
I came across it accidentally as I was trolling around on YouTube one day. And I was like, you know, this would be a good one for a cavalcade fill-in one time.
Yeah, exactly.
It didn't necessarily disappoint, but it also didn't blow us away.
Oh, yeah, there you go. Yeah. Anyway, I guess it is time for this. Okay, hold on. I guess I have to vamp just a moment here. But it's time for the Tales from Rideshare segment.
Yes, that ride has officially come to an end. Unknown for how long, because we've got some new shit popping off, which we're going to talk about after we do our tarot segment. But in the meantime, actually, we'll probably talk about it in the next segment, to be honest. But in the meantime, let's jam!
Well, I'm a bum in the sun, and I'm having fun, and I know you know I got no special plans.
Special plans!
And we hope those plans are going to be to call 253-237-3321 and tell us if you like your ice cream hard or soft. So 253-237-3321, let us know. How do you like it? And in the meantime, I know you're wondering what I'm cooking.
I'm making, like, actual food that's cooked.
We're going to Denny's?
No, we're going to the first floor and rummaging around in the refrigerator to find some leftovers, because this has been an absolutely insane week, and we're going to talk about why it has when we get into the next part of this segment. But in the meantime, no matter if it's leftovers or if it's something I've created in the kitchen, it's always...
It's like an orgy in my mouth and everybody's coming.
Oh, it's an orgy. Got it.
Yeah, and what I have said is if it's not good as a leftover, it probably wasn't good to begin with.
That's the truth.
Yeah, I think that's been the case. So, now what was great though is, okay, so on Sunday we went to was it Sunday we did this? Yeah.
No, I don't feel it was Sunday. Was it?
No. Oh, well, that was
no. This was like
that's what was midweek. That's right. That's right. Oh, that's right. Because usually, okay. So I don't usually get out a whole lot around here, but I do.
Oh, that's right. It was Wednesday because I went with you for your weekly errands.
I run into town about once a week to, you know, I don't know, go to Walmart and you know, get the and pick up some things at the Mennonite store and do a few things that I need to do in town and gets me out of the house. And you decided, well, okay, can I go with you? I'm like, yeah, fine.
I needed to find my social.
Yeah, exactly. So we did, and one of the things we do is go to Goodwill, and you've been kind of looking for things to incorporate in your crafts, but we also, you know, when we also find movies there on DVD because physical media for the win. But
there's a lot of great finds we find there.
Yes, and in fact, what we found was actually you had purchased a saucepan.
I did, and I didn't realize at the time what this saucepan was, and it's kind of entertaining because you were the one, when you went to wash it, who found it.
Yes. I looked at the little logo on the bottom of the pan, and it was, I'm like, honey, this is a Hell's Kitchen pan.
And anybody who knows me knows I love Hell's Kitchen. Gordon Ramsay is one of my favorite chefs, even if he is a raging dickhead. He's one of my faves.
Yes.
And I was for a very long time a faithful Hell's Kitchen consumer of, you know, the show, even considering applying at one point in time to be a contestant, like on the rails.
Oh, there you go. Well,
so that was interesting that we found that find, and yeah, we'll talk about why I was even looking for a saucepan for that matter.
Exactly. Well, okay. So we also decided that we're kind of gilding the lily here and kind of shaggy dogging it a little bit. But okay, so we on Thursday night we had decided that we were going to go have a business meeting
at Romo's.
At Romo's, yeah, our local Mexican place. And we decided that we kind of rather than going to sort of, you know, we had a bad day, kind of we'll go to Romo's and cheer us up. We'll go celebrate, you know. And we'll change that stuff around. And so now before that, I had gotten a little snack. I'd gotten a couple of, they're basically like single serving pieces of cheese that are wrapped up in, you know, in whatever. I usually get two of them. I ate one of them. I didn't eat the other one. And then we were at Romo's and I'm, I don't know, trying to find my wallet or something to pay the bill. I pull out one of the cheese is like, well, I guess. Well, I guess I'm not eating this because it. Yeah.
You're the only person I know who would not realize, hey, I only ate one. What's the thing that's bumping around on my leg in my pocket?
Well, honey, I got more things in my pocket than just cheese. So, but that
I'm
was
not touching that.
No, exactly. Well, And you know, and I think we mentioned the Spotify thing earlier, which honestly,
yeah, we did when we were doing the
so, but okay, yeah. So I'll tell a little bit more about it because actually the story we talked a little bit about it on 2.5 Bens too. So,
sorry, Sir Bemrose has entered, and he said all pieces of cheese are single serving.
Yeah,
I can't with the way I've gnawed on an entire bar of cheese before. I yes, agree
exactly. So anyway, so I got an email from Spotify saying, hey, one of your episodes had potential copyright issue because
that's the Willy Wonka freak out we talked about.
I looked at it, I'm going, okay, I'm not going to play the clip again because I already played it at the beginning of the show, but they flagged that as I don't know how much of it I've used that was unedited or whatever, but there was a bit of editing that occurred in that clip. It was not the, It wasn't a virgin clip. And however, I don't know. And I've literally been using that clip. I don't know. How long have we been using Willy Wonka? I'd have to go back. I mean,
better than 100 episodes easily.
No, exactly. We've been using the Willy Wonka thing forever. I remember when we did it. And when I saw the Willy Wonka in the Chocolate Factory recently, because we watched the proper version, the one with Gene Wilder we're in that scene in the movie and I kind of look over to you and I go, yeah, that's actually, I actually did a really good job editing that together.
Yeah, that was craftsmanship.
Yes. And so they flagged it and I'm just kind of, and I kind of sat there and I'm like, do I want to respond to it? Do I want to deal with this? And we had the conversation in the green room and I basically,
we looked at the metrics on how many listens, downloads, whatever we're actually getting.
Yeah. And I just went, no, I'm not, this isn't worth my time or energy. And although it took me probably an hour talking to a rep through chat and an actual rep, because I don't know, like I don't think an AI could have been maybe that clueless, because I had to tell her what I wanted several times before she fucking got it.
Are you sure she couldn't?
Well, I'm pretty sure. Well, I don't know. The shows are now no longer on Spotify, and I no longer have a Spotify listening account.
And that's all that matters.
Yeah, which is exactly. I wanted completely out of their system. And so, yeah, we deleted the three podcasts I had there, and I went, okay, I don't need that anymore. So, yeah. So I shouldn't get any more notices from them about stuff that, yeah, okay, take it off of Spotify. Boo-hoo. Nobody's listening on Spotify anyway, so fuck it, you know? So, but yeah, and I think this is, you know, I think it's also part of what we've been doing here in the as far as like realigning things, kind of, you know, we're kind of getting back to, you know, kind of where we were. And in fact, even right before we started the show, you're like, hey, can I get the exercise ball that I used to sit on out? And like, oh yeah, okay, well I had it put away, you brought in a chair, and like, okay, here we are, we're back on our balls again, which I should probably write down as a
honey, I haven't stopped being on your balls.
Well, okay, that's the after party.
Breaking the balls.
Well, that too.
That's what I meant, you pervert. See? Now you all see. I am not the bad influence here. I just want you all, you're now all witnesses to the fact he's the dirty-minded one.
It's obscene. That's the point.
Yeah, whatever. You know, anyway. Okay, so, all right, I'm going to need you. Okay.
We're all bad influences here.
We're all bad influences here. Okay. I'm going to have you play the next clip, and I got to go get a deck. So hopefully let the clip play while I go roll.
Great. He's going to play with his deck again. Apparently Phoneboy's too damn slow. It must be because he's getting old, because he didn't quite make it back to the mic with his tarot deck.
Yeah, because I will tell you all. Yeah, I've been kind of nursing a back issue, so it takes me.
All I hear is excuses.
Excuses. They're like assholes. Everybody got them. They all stink. Okay, so here we are. I'm trying to think. I don't even know what deck this is, and I'll have to go find it in the show notes. I literally walk over to my oh yeah, you can look at this one.
To see, like, if I happen to recognize.
No, this is.
Is it one you ordered?
Yeah, this is one. Yeah, this is one of the ones I.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's one I ordered. It's more of a right. It's got more of a.
Well,
right-away.
At first it looked almost like your stained glass deck that I got you.
Yeah, this is.
But now that's why I asked to see it. Yeah. And when I look closer, I'm like, oh no, that's not.
No, this is a different deck. So yeah, I had to. Yeah, what I do is I go. I have a dice that I've got because I've got all the. I've got most of my tarot decks in this beautiful case that you got me. Right. I have the last deck I used to do a reading out, and then I roll the dice to put the one, you know, basically replace that deck with a different deck. and pull that deck out. And that's what I used to do the reading, right? So this is what I'm doing here is, yeah, it's basically, well, you know, I'm listening to what the, what does the collective need to know, or I guess, or what, maybe what's going on here. I don't know. This is what the.
Well, okay. So can, if you want, while you're shuffling and playing with your deck, I'll talk about the fact that we're actually having some relatively interesting thunder showers in the area right now. We had one earlier that was, the cracks of thunder were so loud and scary that Kashmir, now we have totes completely under our bed to prevent, you know, Sir Ducifer from getting under there. He didn't give two shits that there were totes under that bed. He found a way to squeeze his 11 pound ass under that bed with that thunder. He was having none of it. He said nope. And then after everything calmed back down and the sun actually came out, he came out from under the bed and everything was okay. There's a lot of energy. There's a lot of ozone in the air. Yeah. You know, you can feel it. And I think that your draw is going to be really representational of that.
And in fact, the card that jumped out of the deck here as you were talking about that was the Three of Wands. And now this particular deck, the book on this is, the Three of Wands is, using similar, it's more of a Rider-Waite sort of a imagery, but you've got somebody that is looking out over a field holding one of the wands, and there's two behind him. It looks like he's about to sort of embark on an adventure. And I'd say that's what we're doing here.
That's definitely real.
In more ways than one. And we'll talk about it a little bit after here. I'm trying to pick up more, but I think there's been a pretty big shift in the energy over the last, I don't know, it's been kind of
the Schumann resonance has been off the charts.
Yeah. And right now, actually, at least the Tomsk station, which is the one that all the different people that are looking at it usually look at, is last I checked was offline. And yeah, interestingly, and that doesn't necessarily. Now that could mean that the station is down, and when it comes back up, it'll put all the data back in. But I hear some folks say that might actually be when a timeline jump occurs. I don't really know, but something's definitely going on, and the energy today was very strong. I'm still kind of buzzing from all the freaking stuff.
We're
back. Okay, so.
We're back and everything looks pretty calm, to be honest.
All right. Yeah, that's right. You pulled it up. Okay. So
yeah, because you shared the app with me at the time that you kept mentioning this and I knew nothing about it. And I'm like, what is that? You were like, oh, it's this app, yada, yada. And I'm like, oh, can I get some of that?
Yeah, of
course. So now we're very sensitive to the energy that is going on and how it affects our lives and what we do. Yeah. So yeah, we've been keeping a really close eye on it. And it's been pretty spot on when you think about when really intense things are going on in our life.
Yeah.
You know, it's not uncommon to see a complete whiteout on the resonance.
Yeah, exactly. Which is, it's been there's been a lot of whiteouts and then, you know, periods of time where all of that energy is integrated. And it's been kind of this pattern for the last, I don't know, several weeks or something. But I've only been starting to look at it probably, maybe the last month or so, I've been kind of monitoring.
You must have been looking at it before I realized and you had brought it to my attention.
I kind of wanted to see what it was about before I mentioned it, and so I did. Okay, now we have the King of Swords in reverse that I pulled out here, and the King of Swords is I'm gonna go and read this one, because you know, when I look at this card, I feel like that, you know, you've got somebody sitting on a throne here, of course, and definitely has a sword and all of that. And usually I don't know, reverses don't always mean, you know, don't always mean bad things, right? Because I feel like that, you know, that there's a lot of energy that swords have in terms of just, you're definitely taking actions here. Let me see if I can find what it's, the book for this is terrible. I mean, this is just like this little freaking, you know, this little pamphlet. It's just got,
it's full of Chinesium.
Well, of course it is. But, you know, but yeah, there, but there has been, you know, but I think what we're seeing though with this card is we're starting to, there's a lot of people that have stolen our good intentions, we'll say, and in many places in the world, you know, through all societies, all walks of life, and whatever. Oh, you know, we didn't talk about the guy at the Indian restaurant when we had lunch on Friday.
Well, we also, oh yeah, you're into tarot.
Yeah, Yeah.
Well, I mean, you can mention it.
Yeah, because you know we had this great conversation with I think that story will make more sense when we talk about what we're actually doing, which we'll do that in the next segment. So now that I'm thinking about it, but in any case, there's a lot of people that have been stealing our good intentions for a long time, and I feel like that what this card is representing is the stuff that they've been kind of keeping from us and stealing from us it's starting to come back, right? As the truth comes out, right? And we can argue, how much truth and whatever, but things are starting to get revealed that, I would have never thought in my lifetime, hell, like, there's a lot of stuff that's going on right now that I never thought would have happened, but here we are. And it's going to get interesting. I think going on, we got maybe one. I'm going to draw one more card here because I don't make this segment that long. Some people do 20, 30 minute tarot reads. I'm still trying to get my sea legs on doing things like that. But let's see what this last card comes up. And I got the Seven of Cups, and you can see in this card, this is things that you can see that all of the different choices here. I'm gonna post a picture of the card here. But look at the card, honey. There's a lot you've got.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. That is very interesting. You've got, the Seven of Cups. Okay, so like in all of these cups, you've got something different coming out. You've got a gold fig leaf coming out of one, what looks like, I'll be honest with you, if you look at the one next to the fig leaf and not the one that looks like a dragon, what does that look like to you? I think you know, because it ties into what we're going to talk about next.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah, you see it.
I see it. Well, I'm not gonna spoil it.
Yeah, but I'm saying.
But what I look at this card is that I look at this card and I've seen this card. There's a lot of choices, right? In this that it looks like the universe is giving this joy. You know, they're all in cups, right? They're overflowing, even, right? So we're gonna have with what's coming. I think we're all gonna. I think. Things are going to start looking up for a lot of people, I think, and the people that that have probably suffered more than others. But so, like I said, I'll post a picture of this in the link and do all that in the chat, or in the show notes. What I've been drawing lately is kind of and it is kind of in this vein, is that stuff's I can feel the energy. We can feel the energy. It's shifting, right? And it's shifting in a way, and you're starting to see all this stuff, and it's like, okay, well, if we were going to say, do something about the state of the world, well, we kind of have to let what's there collapse first a little bit, right? Because you have to clear away the space to put in something new. So it's going to be interesting however long this is going on, but I think the end result of it is all going to be positive things for everybody. So
sounds good to me.
All right, so now let's talk about our new venture.
I was going to say that we're in this together. This will not probably come as any surprise to anyone, especially anyone who's been listening over the last day or two, or anyone who I communicate with in the back channel, because here it is. The Lotus Cafe is actually going to exist. It opens on May 3rd at our local farmer's market. It is going to feature meringue cookies and ice cream, all homemade, down to very minute details. It's going to be insane. I don't know. This all started because, let's see, yesterday, officially, was Wookie's birthday. And I had her over for dinner. We had her over for dinner over the weekend, last weekend. And I decided to make a chocolate cake with...
It was Monday
because of, yeah, that's right. Okay. She took the week off. So this actually happened on Monday. That's right. But I decided to make her own birthday cake and homemade ice cream. And Foamboy, I think you are very important to this conversation because the ice cream is the focal point. Even as great as the cake was, that ice cream touched you obscenely. I mean, we talk about, where does the Lotus affect you? Oh, that ice cream affected you in a big way.
Oh, it did. Yeah. I think to me, that is actually something that, I think that was completely, I haven't had ice cream in probably, the last time I had ice cream, I think I was, It may have been the Tillamook, you know, the place. And when I lived in the Pacific Northwest and would vacation, we'd go down to Seaside, and Tillamook is about an hour south of where Seaside is. It's a pretty drive too. That's the last, probably the last time I had a serious amount of ice cream. And then you made ice cream. You made coffee ice cream, which it turns out I love.
I did.
And I love coffee ice cream. And my inner kid was like, yeah, I want more of that. And everybody sort of told this to, and everybody has, we've kind of said, you know, this, we're doing, it's like, yeah, well, the way I look at it is, who doesn't love ice cream? Let's do something that brings people happiness and joy. And okay, yeah, it's got sugar, but guess what? It's life into living, first of all.
It's not something you eat every day.
Oh no. Yeah, although with the extra leftovers, yeah, we've had cake a few times. But the ice cream was just, like I said, it woke something up in me. I'm like, yeah, we need to do that. And everything that, I'll let you continue, because there's been a lot of things that have been kind of pointing that direction, including the conversation.
Several different people have made statements, including Mama T and even the gentleman at the Indian restaurant when we went to do our Costco shopping, partially mainly for the operation, but also because we needed a few things for the house. And we had, it was actually Linner, because it was about 3-4 o'clock in the afternoon after I got out of my internship on Friday. And thankfully, I only have one more week of that. Oh, dear God. I'm so glad to be out. But so we had Linner at the Indian restaurant, and it was virtually dead at one point. And we got to actually chat with the owner for about 30 minutes or so. Very personable, very wonderful man. Great conversation. But one of the things that stood out most when we were talking about the fact that this venture is occurring was, you know, in Indian culture, they always make food fresh. He was talking about, you know, surrounding restaurants, how, you know, sure, they get, you know, this score or that score because they're opening a package and dumping it in to, you know, a pot or microwaving it. He says everything that we do, you know, the tomatoes are cut fresh, this, that, the other thing. That really spoke to me. And he said, do what makes you happy. That is one of the things that was taken away, is that the reason he does this restaurant, has this restaurant, he likes making people happy with his food. And believe me, his food does make us very happy. It is super delicious. And we actually feel a little better about eating it now that we know that everything is prepared fresh. There's no, you know, hot fresh garbage in the form. I mean, yeah, maybe they use seed oils, but and you know, grains and stuff, but it's not prepackaged. It's not like, you know, I can't, ultra processed. That was the word I was trying to look for. There's really no ultra processing in that. So basically, between the feedback I've gotten from some of the select pedal heads and what the man said at the Indian restaurant and whatnot, it just kept spurring on the idea that this needs to happen. And when we messaged the woman who runs the farmer's market and asked her, you know, hey, because it's a food-only market. I've had several people ask me, oh, why aren't you doing this or why aren't you doing that? It's because it's a food-only market. And I think it's a beautiful thing. Y'all have heard me talk about the fact that I wanted to make Lotus Cafe exist. I want a brick and mortar. I have the abilities. I have this and that. What I don't have is the funding. So if this ends up being what the universe has in store for the Lotus Cafe's humble beginnings, I'm fine to sacrifice a bit of my own integrity, because that's kind of how I feel about it, if I'm honest. You know, we come in front of the mic all the time and talk about how you shouldn't eat sugars, you shouldn't eat grains, you shouldn't do this, you shouldn't do that. Oh, but buy our ice cream and our cookies that have all of those things in them. Now, granted, we're going to do it as cleanly as possible. There won't be any seed oils. You know, the oil we use from Villa Capelli is not cheap and it's very pure. I feel good about if I'm making a baked good to go into this ice cream, that it's not going to have, to the best ability, I mean, I have food coloring that has no, you know, FD&C dyes. It's all natural. You know, I'm doing the best I can to make this as pure as possible.
Yeah, and I think that's and honestly, it's you know, I mean, sugar does have its issues when consumed in mass quantities, but it's also the it's fake. It's the fake food that's the real fucking problem, though. I mean, that's the way I look at it. Is like, yeah, if you're gonna have a life in the living, live a little and actually eat something that tastes good and has great flavor and is made with love and care, right? I mean, that's the other thing too, is that everything's so mass produced, it just has no life or taste to it anymore. So, yeah, this just yeah because yeah we're gonna be making this be made in our fucking kitchen here, you know. That's what that's
yeah. Thank you, Tennessee cottage laws.
Yeah, Tennessee has some pretty has the probably the most liberal cottage laws in the country as far as that goes. So
yeah, but you also know from the way that I do, you know, what I do in our kitchen, just on the personal note, that shit's gonna be super clean. You know, there's not gonna be. I mean, I'm even, you know, hair netting, so that there's not the opportunity to get anything in this product. I will be super hygienic because I would want that from anyone who I would buy something from at the market, which is another point to our thing, is that we're going to use local ingredients as much as possible. We want to use the eggs from the folks who source our chicken. We want, you know, if there's vendors who have fruit when it comes into season, we'll definitely, you know, make that happen to put into our product, because I think that it's important to bring community together through doing things like that.
Yeah, I think that, yeah, there's a much bigger issue here, and it's really, you know, I can't think of anything better to do with one's life than to spread happiness and joy, which there's not a lot of in this world, folks. It seems like we've all forgotten how to play. We've all forgotten how to be happy. We've all forgotten our, you know, our inner childs are wounded and scared and all of that. And, you know, let's.
That reminds me, Phone Boy, we need to get some of those pinwheels to put on the legs of the tent like thing.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
The canopy. That's the word. I can never remember the word canopy, but I'm thinking if we took some zip ties and attached the, the pinwheels to them.
Yeah.
You know, make our booth stand out because it's shiny and it's fun.
Well, yeah, there's a lot of moving parts to all of this, and it's been a little bit of a thing, and we've had to kind of make some, and there's been some difficult conversations about things, and I think it's the right thing to do. This needs to live in the world, and
we'll be promoting our show at the same time, because we're gonna have our throw that was hanging on the blinds, hanging on the canopy, so we'll be, you know, kind of shamelessly promoting our podcast while shamelessly selling these wonderful, you know, frozen treats.
Exactly. So anyway, yeah, I think it's so, yeah, it's gotten you excited in ways that, you know, like I said, this has been a great thing, I think, for, you know, this, and it was just kind of an accidental discovery of, oh, look, this, you know, this ice cream is pretty fucking good. And, you know, yeah. And it was, I mean, I can't even tell you, like, my inner child was like, my God, I haven't had ice cream that good in forever. So,
and it was fun to make too. My oldest even participated, because when we got ready to churn it, he was like, can I do it? And I'm like, yeah, if you want to, like, go nuts. I don't have any particular, you know, control over the fact, like, it, you know, whatever. You want to churn it, go for it. Because I know he knows what he's doing. You know, he did accompany me to culinary school. And, you know, he doesn't give himself enough credit, but besides the fact. So, yeah, it's happening. We will definitely have photos to share. It opens on the 3rd, so it'll actually be the weekend after that where the photos will start appearing, I would say, because obviously, you know, can't have photos till the event occurs. It's also coinciding, interestingly, as if I don't have enough to do, let's just turn it up to 20. The 3rd is the Sunday just prior to the last week of semester for me, which means the joy of finals while also facilitating the next week's product.
Oh, there you go. Yeah, we got some challenges here, but
if I make it through the week, I would like my straight jacket in purple, please.
Okay, well, exactly. Well, all right. I think we've, is there any more we want to say about?
No, because we actually, in the spirit of the announcement of the Lotus Cafe, we
actually asked an important question to the pedal heads, and we issued a wake-up call.
The world needs a wake-up call. We're going to phone it in.
To 253-237-3321, we asked the wonderful pedal heads, tell us whether you prefer your ice cream hard or soft. I know that soft serve is a big thing, and I don't know if hard serve is as popular as it once was, but we're going to find out from these pedal heads what their preference is.
I like ice cream, period. And I'm not even sure what you mean by hard ice cream. I at least want to be able to get it out of the container. But all ice cream is good. That's my thoughts and story, and I'm sticking to it. Love y'all. Bye.
Thank you, Mama T. We love you. Okay, so to define hard ice cream, if you're buying a half gallon of ice cream in a bucket, in a container, in this and that, it's hard ice cream. If you're getting it soft serve, if you go into Dirty Clean or...
Well, hell, the Mennonite store sells soft serve.
Right. I mean, I've always known it as it's hard ice cream or soft ice cream. It's soft serve or hard ice cream is like a pint of Ben and Jerry's.
Exactly. So, all right, let's see what this next caller had to say.
Hey. What the hell are you guys doing? Anyway, it's Mom. Bye.
That's actually Mama Bemrose. We actually talked to her last
night. Yes, it was amazing.
Yeah, after we got done with 2.5 Bens, all of a sudden Bemlet decided to bring Mom into the conversation. We're like, oh, we love Mama Bemrose. And we had a
it's only the second time,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, the first time it was done through she was actually at their house. She called in from Hawaii last night, so
it was awesome.
Yeah, we had a great conversation. I'm not going to play this one because I think it's just mostly noise. But we'll play this one here from this pedal head.
Hey y'all, my ice cream. I don't like it too hard. Don't like it too soft. If you get a pint of ice cream out of the freezer, I like to let it sit 15-20 minutes to where it gets softer, but not too soft, if you know what I mean. Love you guys. Talk to you later. Bye.
So apparently Wookiee is a hard ice cream, but not too hard. We get it.
Yeah, I don't like soft ice cream because it's not real. But anyway, that's a different discussion. Yeah, I mean,
I'm not really sure how to react to that, but
well,
okay.
I'm sure if you get how it's made and what's in it, it may not be as. I, let's put it this way: I trust what comes out of your kitchen a whole lot more than what comes out of any soft serving from.
Yeah, I can agree with that analysis.
Yeah, exactly. So, all right, let's see what this caller has to say.
Oh, Lotus Effect, what's up, Phoenix and the whole boy? Hard or soft ice cream? Sorry if I'm yelling. I don't know how much of this wind is coming through. I am driving home from doing a cleanup job today. Any hoosers? I've always been the type that, like, ever since I was a little kid, I get a bowl of ice cream and I would, like, mix it up, stir it up. I always have to stir it up. I like to stir it up. I like to stir all the flavors together, and I intentionally get flavors that go together good when you stir them up, because that's what I like to do. So soft, I guess. Soft ice cream. Soft serve. Not necessarily particularly soft serve, because, like, you know, sometimes that shit's laden with chemicals just to keep it from, like, freezing all the way in those little machines, those little doohickeys that never work at the Golden Arches. Another thing I do not care much for is that shell chocolate. That shit is fucking garbage. It's basically wax. I don't know why anybody would eat it. It's gross, even when it came out. My fucking parents at the time, my mom, I can't remember whoever it was, they always used to want to fucking freeze a damn banana with some fucking shell on it and give it to you like it's some sort of fucking treat. No. Chocolate-covered bananas is delicious. Frozen banana with shell topping on it is fucking terrible. Should not be consumed by your children under the guise of, oh, it's a treat and it's healthy. No, fucking gross. It's terrible. I hated it every time. So, yes, that shit's great. No, fuck that shit. I don't like the shell chocolate. Any kind of it, any rendition of it. Like I said, basically, might as well just be fucking eating wax. Lightly chocolate tinted wax. I don't like it. I don't like hard ice. I don't want to bite my ice cream. My teeth are sensitive. Don't want to have to bite my ice cream. But they always have been, like I said, since I was a kid. So, soft. Bye. Bye.
Thank you so much, weirdo. That was fantastic. And I'm literally sitting here going, ew, why? Yeah. Like, chocolate-covered frozen bananas are the shit as long as the chocolate's real. Not, like you said, that horrible, waxy chocolate. No.
No. Yeah. And as for soft-serve ice cream, yeah, we don't like it because...
it contains chemicals.
That's right. It does contain chemicals. So, like I said, okay, when I asked hard or soft, soft-serve is the shit that comes out the machine at the Golden Arches, like he says, that's always fucking broken. Hard is your pints of Haagen-Dazs, Ben & Jerry's, and no, I'm not saying those are real either. They contain chemicals as well, I'm sure. Definitely high fructose corn syrup and garbage, but I'm not going to go on that rant. Simply saying that there's nothing wrong with taking some ice cream out the freezer that you know, scoop out of a carton or a bucket or whatever, putting the shit in a bowl, letting it get a little soft, stir it with a spoon, stir it with your dick if it makes you happy. It's still hard ice cream. And if you stir with your dick might be hard after the fact, too. And that's a whole nother discussion. Lick it before it melts, baby.
All right. I have a feeling this last call since there's no transcript and it's 3 minutes, I have a feeling it's a butt dial. I mean, I'm just going to play it here real quick.
Hard or soft?
Oh, actually, we have an actual
thing. Boy. Salutations. Greetings. That ice cream, yeah. I don't know. I mean, like, if it's too soft, then it's kind of pulling the ice out of the cream, and it's just liquid, which is still good, you know, bottom of the sundae or bottom of the bowl or whatever, but you don't want, like, the whole thing just to be liquid. If it's too hard, I mean, I know my wife will sometimes, like, take the carton and, like, throw it in the microwave for just a second or two just because you can't, like, even scoop it out because it's so hard, but, like, that's just to manage it. But, yeah. As long as it's good ice cream, I think that's the biggest thing, is quality ice cream. Like, we grew up-ish on, like, sometimes it was, like, we had to, like, as a kid, like, the gallon things of ice cream from, like, I don't think it was Costco at the time, but, like, Costco, the grocery store, or, you know, whatever, and, like, just the gallon thing of, like, vanilla or chocolate or whatever, and then you have it later, and you're, like, as an adult, you have it, and it's, like, it's good. In the proper setting, I guess, like, it's somebody's birthday or, like, kid's birthday or something, and just part of the celebration, so you don't want to, like, not be a part of it just because, like, you want to, you know, just be inclusive, I guess, if you will, to use that term, but, yeah, I know we've taken our nibblings out, and sometimes it's just for cost factor, like, it doesn't really matter, but we cycle through them, like, sounds weird, we cycle through them, like, one a month kind of thing. We'll just take them out for a couple hours kind of deal. And we always do ice cream with them. But sometimes it's just the economical part of, like, I would just take them, like, a Baskin-Robbins kind of thing where it's, like, it's just ice cream. And, like, honestly, I don't care if I have it. Like, I'll just tell my wife, I'm like, yeah, I'm good. I don't want any, like, kind of thing. Because it's just, it doesn't taste good, really. So it's quality ice cream. That's a big thing, I would say. So it's kind of like, do I really want to buy this and eat this when it's, just kind of, you're eating it, but then you, like, stop, and it's like, it's not that good, really. It just exists. Plus, to add all this, I'm more of the hearty person, which I've probably said many a time since food talk on this show, but I'd rather just kind of have, like, chips and salsa or something like that than dessert for the most part, even though I do like dessert. I have family members that are excellent bakers and whatnot and can really make mean desserts, but, as a whole, I'm not like, I gotta have sugar, sort of thing. But yeah, matter not. Anyway, hope you guys are having a fantabulous day. You are, I know. So, love you guys. Stay dangerous. and whether or not you're doing stuff or you're not doing stuff. Enjoy. And give a hearty
hearty caca!
Yeah, except he got cut off at 3 minutes, but that's okay.
That's all right, because we know how it goes, and we thank you, Mr. Christopher Battles,
yes, we
for
do.
All yep. of that. We have one more submission that actually came in through the back channel in a conversation with the good Rev himself. When I sent him the topic for the week, his response was a mere yes with two exclamation points. So pretty much that translates into ice cream, yes. Don't care if it's hard, if it's soft. Gimme the ice cream for ice cream.
Yes, ice cream for ice cream. Well, all right. I think we've, okay. Do you like hard or soft ice cream? Because I think I've answered the question already.
Okay, so I will out myself as I'm much like the Rev in its yes, please. I'm the person who'll eat ice cream year round. I don't hate a soft serve. I have to admit to not hating that chocolate shell that Weirdo flipped out about back in the day. You know, former me ate the hell out the shell. However, current me knowing what's in that, yeah, not so much. I will pass.
Yeah.
Not to mention, did you ever notice, I don't know, did you ever have like a dipped cone at like a Dairy Queen or something?
Yeah, I'm sure I have, yeah.
Okay, so here's one problem that I have with it. The only way you're getting that coating on is it's heated.
Yeah.
What happens to ice cream when you add heat?
Yes, exactly.
It fucking melts. So you crack into this beautiful shell and all the fucking ice cream runs out. So, yeah, Weirdo, I'm with you on fuck the shell. I'm also, like I said, you're going to have a frozen banana that's chocolate covered. You better be dipping it in real chocolate, not that fake shell shit. That being said, yeah, ice cream all day or day. However, I am leaning more toward the hard ice cream than the soft serve, especially A, now that I'll be making it homemade, and B, because you're less likely to encounter as many chemicals when you're having the hard ice cream. So that's my vote.
Exactly. Well, all right. I think we're now to the second half of the show.
I think we've gotten there, and you know what happens in the second half. You know who it's brought to you by?
Brought to you by Carl's Jr.
Why do you keep saying that?
Because they pay me every time I do. It's a really good way to make money.
You might want some Carl's Jr. after this story. I'm talking about this story because marijuana. I don't know. So marijuana has been reclassified to Schedule 3, at least for medical purposes at the federal level. Let's talk about what that means. And I'm supposed to play the clip, which is, of course, because I, you know, you would think I'd have the board up, but I'm still not used to.
Nice execution. Doing terrific.
Yeah, there we go. But now I have the right clipboard, and that means
it's a step in the right direction after all.
Acting Attorney General Todd Blanche signed an order moving the two categories of marijuana into Schedule 3 of the Controlled Substances Act. An FDA-approved drug products containing marijuana and marijuana products regulated under a qualifying state medical marijuana license. The action was announced by the Department of Justice on April 23rd and follows a December 18th, 2025 executive order in which President Trump directed the DOJ to complete the reclassification in the most expeditious manner possible. Well, 4 months for a government agency to do something, yeah, that's pretty quick.
That's pretty good. But also, you say it's a step in the right direction, but I still feel like I agree with the dame and the sir there, the bowl after bowl kid.
Yeah,
I should be able to grow it like a fucking tomato. Take your laws off my plant.
Yes, I agree with this also, but this is what we're dealing with right now. Blanche used a specific legal authority, a provision allowing the Attorney General to classify drugs the U.S. must regulate under international treaty obligations, to bypass the stalled DEA rulemaking process that had dragged on since the Biden administration. That prior Biden-era hearing process has now been terminated. A new administrative hearing beginning on June 29th, 2026, will consider broader rescheduling of marijuana beyond the categories covered immediately by this order. Under the Controlled Substances Act, drugs are sorted into five schedules based on accepted medical use, abuse potential, and safety profile. Schedule 1 is the most restrictive category, reserved for substances deemed to have no accepted medical use and a high potential for abuse. Until April 23rd, marijuana remained in Schedule 1 alongside heroin and LSD. Now, Schedule 3 substances are recognized as having medical use and a moderate to low potential for physical dependence. Moving these covered marijuana products into Schedule 3 is the clearest formal acknowledgement yet by the federal government that marijuana has accepted medical use. Well, okay, step in the right direction, but that doesn't change the fact that marijuana is still a federally controlled substance. Get your laws off my weed, right?
It also doesn't change the fact they're the very ones who stigmatized it with all of their propaganda in the first place when they realized its potential to completely destroy so many different industries because you can use it for so many different things. Paper, clothing, medicinal. You can use it to make teas and you know, hell, you can eat the stuff. I mean, come on, guys. Real.
Honey, yeah, there's a lot of things they've memory holed or tried to deal with. I'm sure
understand.
People were probably using this stuff well before they decided, we call it the Randolph Hearst and Dow Chemical, you know, banning marijuana or, you know, I don't know. All of the industrialists probably benefited from the fact that that was, made illegal at some point.
Darling, do I need to remind you that the original formula for Coca-Cola contained coca leaf?
No, you don't need to remind me of that. I know that.
We all know the wonders of coca leaf.
Yeah,
just ask the Peruvians.
Exactly.
There's a reason they call it Peruvian marching powder.
That's right. Now, rescheduling changes how certain marijuana marijuana products are regulated, not whether marijuana is federally prohibited overall. Federal criminal laws still apply, and interstate commerce remains illegal. So marijuana outside the categories covered by this order, including recreational marijuana, remains in Schedule 1 for now, while the June 29th hearing process considers broader rescheduling. Now, as a practical matter, nothing about most state dispensaries changes overnight just because this order was signed. However, it does make it easier for the 40 states that operate some medical marijuana programs. They can be federally recognized now. And it also allows scientists who obtain marijuana from state licensed sources to actually do some research, which actually removes one of the biggest obstacles to clinical cannabis research. Right now, there's also the IRS. Right, IRS Code 280E has been one of the most punishing features of federal marijuana policy for legal operators. Because marijuana was treated as a Schedule 1 or 2 controlled substance, businesses engaged in trafficking in a controlled substances were blocked from deducting ordinary business expenses like rent, payroll, and utilities on their federal taxes.
Yeah, they also weren't able to accept credit cards for payment due to this fact.
And for many operators, that meant punishingly high effective tax rates. Now, the reclassification removes that restriction for covered state licensed medical marijuana operators. Now, this order also encourages the Secretary of the Treasury to consider providing retrospective relief from Section 280E liability for taxable years in which a state license operated under a state medical marijuana license. That relief is not guaranteed. The order itself makes it clear that nothing in the rule is a final determination regarding federal tax liability, and operators should consult tax counsel about their specific circumstances, blah, 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 blah. Now, to put it in scale here, put the scale in concrete terms, Verando Holdings previously estimated that rescheduling would save the company roughly $80 million annually in 280E expenses alone. Yeah. I mean, I would imagine that would probably...
That's a big chunk of cheese.
That's a hunk of cheese, yeah. So, yeah, I mean, we talk about the fact that, we shouldn't be regulating this shit anyway, but, you know, okay, the government's going to government. This is, you know, it's kind of, you know, it's like when Gary Tobbs talks about the fact that, well, we can't, you know, we just can't come right out and say, yeah, we got the dietary guidelines completely wrong. We probably killed some people, but, you know, we're trying to do the right thing now. Yeah, they can't do that. Right. This is another example of that. Right. They're just going, OK, well, we're going to slowly back out of the room because, yeah, they pretty much can't deny that, you know, that this is what the people want. I mean, honestly.
Yeah. It's an example of.
And now we say we're sorry. How convenient.
Yeah. Well, that'll be interesting what the slapback is on that clip when we play it. But
I apologize for having my sound.
Yeah. Anyway, I can't talk. Fortunately, I think. Okay. So it's your story now because.
Oh, it's all my story. Well, I'm glad that it's my story. And I'm glad that I get to tell you guys about a girl who gave up sugar and now she looks unrecognizable.
Isn't she lovely? Isn't she wonderful?
So Chloe Ann Cortez, who's 24, shared a clip in which she showed her face appearing puffier in the first shot, but looking much slimmer and more defined in the second. She said her face has completely changed shape with more defined cheekbones, and she has a jawline now. I know that feeling. When I lost a bunch of weight for the first time, I noticed that exact same occurrence, and it's really a confidence booster. She said before cutting out refined sugar 6 years ago, she would describe herself as feeling bloated all the time with absolutely no energy. Because I'm fat, fat, fat. I'm really, really fat. Now, she thought she was healthy. She used to eat low-calorie meals, protein powders, using trendy skincare and very expensive supplements, but yet her skin kept flaring up. She had horrible acne. Today, the tech and innovation consultant who lives in Brisbane, Australia, said she feels like a completely different person. Trying to become healthy is so exhausting. Trying everything and it didn't even work. She was tired of spending money on things that were marketed as healthy but weren't helping her body. She said her skin was horrible and she was struggling with acne, gained almost 20 pounds, and found she could not lose the weight.
Give us a week, we'll take off the weight.
She said, my body felt extremely sluggish and everything felt like a struggle. Now, since quitting refined sugar, she said the changes to her appearance have been so dramatic that some people have questioned their authenticity. Now, after losing weight and finally clearing my skin from acne and acne scars, I've been accused of using videos of two different people, she said. I even had someone ask me if I'd gotten a nose job, but it was just my whole face slimming from the weight loss. She now relies on natural sugars from fruit and honey when cravings hit. And while cutting out sugar may sound daunting, she said it's achievable with the right approach.
You can do it!
So it might seem like a big thing to cut out sugar, but if you have a strong foundation in place, anyone will 100% be able to succeed. I agree completely with that. And I also agree with the fact she said she was a former sugar addict, so if she can do it, you can do it. And I agree. Foamboy and I have both proved, even with our newest venture and even with the fact we occasionally put some life into living, if you can break that addiction, your life is going to be so much better. Ours definitely has been. Now, she said the goal is never to ever not eat sugar, but control the cravings. Don't let them control you. She said one added unexpected change was how much sweeter fruit tasted once her sugar cravings subsided. One thing she didn't expect to happen was how good it did taste, and now that she's overcome her sugar cravings. She said she eats fruit all day, every day. She's genuinely a little fruit bat. I wouldn't necessarily say that's... I mean, she's probably being a little embellishing, but fruit to me, again, it is a it's a treat, not a staple. Despite what the guidelines say, just my opinion. So when your body adjusts and you finally overcome artificial sugars, fruit and honey taste so much sweeter. And that's really true. Foamboy, have you noticed that yourself in after cutting sugar out of your life, that small amounts are so much more impactful to your taste buds?
Oh yeah, absolutely. And we yeah, I mean, that was one of the things I, you know, when we were talking about even like the you know, you, by the way, this cake that you made for Wookie, right? I mean, it was pretty good. I mean, yeah, and I know you're not even, you know, a fan of the fries. It was like, okay, it wasn't too sweet, you know? I
still think it's funny that like I got this fucking cake all assembled with the cherry compote filling and realized when I'm counting the parchment paper circles, I'm like, I'm missing a circle. Oh shit. That means there's still a parchment circle on one of these fucking layers. And I'm looking and I'm like, okay, good. It's only the second layer. I can handle this. It was one of the funniest things to just see me scooping this cherry compote into a bowl so that I can peel this stupid parchment off and hoping that the moisture that I want to add to the cake, that small amount that the compote is going to give, isn't going to be all left on the parchment. But it worked out great. I was really thrilled with it. She was over the moon for it. And even interestingly, I know I complained about the frosting. Because of like 5 cups of confectionery sugar is obscene. But amazingly, it actually wasn't too sweet. When you added it to the cake, I feel like it balanced it perfectly. And don't forget, I also did a little something extra with that chocolate to make it more decadent and rich, flavorful. And it also probably pulled some of the sugar content away by what I did.
Yeah, it may have. Yeah. But anyway, it was, yeah, because that's the thing with any more everything, because sugar is literally in everything, right? Then, you know, the things that do have sugar, you know, it's like you need more sugar in order to be able to taste it. You know, it's like, well, no, you don't need so much sugar. It's, you know.
Yeah. You realize when you cut it out that, you know, you didn't need all that sugar. Oh my God. Thinking about how sweet I used to take my coffee that I would get at Dunkin' Donuts. If I tried to even take a sip of that today, I would probably vomit because it would be so disgustingly sweet. And it wasn't even real sugar. It was freaking pink death.
Pink death.
Ugh. Anyway, so Cortez added that the kick she used to get from sugary pastries and cakes, she now gets from fruit. Some of the comments from her post have been very supportive and have also shown how real people, just like her, are having a similar journey. One person wrote, being so real, I feel so unattractive when I eat sugar. Like, my face looks different and all my joints hurt and it makes me feel old. Another person said, it does work. I gave up processed sugar for 3 months and I lost 10 pounds. Healthy diet and natural sugar in your fruits works. And one other person said, it's very true. I cut out all sugar. I don't crave it. And my skin loves me due to the fact. So I love that this movement is happening. More people are discovering that when you take sugar out of your, you know, refined sugar out of your diet and just go with what nature provides, again, listening to your body, grounding, getting back to homeostasis.
Yeah, exactly. Which, has been challenging lately with all the, with everything that's, with all the energy and everything.
Yeah, it has.
Yeah, exactly. So is that a, are you, have you,
yes, I have completed that.
You have completed the story. Okay. So I have my next story, which actually was kind of funny when I saw this article, I went, you and I had this conversation because you accused me of something the other day. Does the brain work like an LLM in predicting words? Yeah, new study spells out, well, a complicated answer.
It's really smart. It's a brain.
Now, the appearance of predictive text in writing an email or text message has become, for better or worse, a regular feature of our lives, saving us time by seamlessly filling in a word before we can type it or frustrating us by repeatedly doing the same with an unrelated term. Yes. We there's a reason we call it autofuck or autocorrupt. Or many number of other names for it. Yeah, it's terrible. Like AI systems more broadly, the predictive text feature of large language models is said to be analog to the way the brain works. In this case, our ability to forecast what words come next when listening to others speak.
Wait, was this when I was going to say something and you kind of like interjected and I just kind of deadpan stared at you and I was like, that's not at all what I was going to say. Is that what you're referring to?
Something along those lines. I don't remember exactly. Okay. Yeah. So, but while this next word prediction feature humans possess is well known, less clear is how the brain functions during this process and what considerations it makes in doing so. To put another way, does the brain predict words in the same way that AI does? How about no, it doesn't. But anyway, because there's a lot more to there's a lot of things that AI can't do. Anyway, a newly published study by a team of scientists shows that, in fact, we predict words by undergoing a more complex process. Now, the research, which is published in the journal Nature Neuroscience, shows that we take into account a larger linguistic structure, focusing on a word's surrounding within groups of words, a constituent, rather than only what word comes next. This is similar to how we look at surrounding pieces of a puzzle and deciding where to place the next piece. Now, while LLMs are trained and optimized to predict the next word, the human brain makes predictions by grammatically grouping. Some douchebag talking about this. Each word exploits its predictive
science.
Yes, with LLMs, predictions are by and large created equally. Each word exploits its predictive context the same way. By contrast, a human brain makes predictions by first taking into account chunks of words, what we call grammatical constituents, and then determining which words are predicted the best within that structure. Hold on a second. How do they fucking know the brain actually works this way? This is what I want to know because, you know, I think because the one thing an LLM can only do is look at the words that are in there. One thing an LLM can't do is read a person and their energy and go, oh, you know, that there's more then the words.
There's also the nonverbal cues.
There's also the nonverbal cues. There's so much more information we're processing. And in fact, I'm going to bring this factoid up that I brought to you. There is probably there's about 11. It's either 11 million or 11 billion bytes of data per second that our bodies are exposed to. And everything in our environment, you know, which includes the physical things as well as the celestial things that might be impacting things. It is all, you're experiencing all of that at the same time. You can only process maybe 40 to 50 bytes at a time of that data. So if you think about, you know, we talk about being present, right? And the importance of being present, it still comes down to what you're present with, because you can't possibly, it is impossible for the human mind to perceive literally everything that's going on around them at the same time. They have to be paying attention to one thing or another. And if you're distracted by thoughts or something like that, you're not even able to do that very well. So, you know, and actually it's kind of one of the things we've talked about. And, you know, when we're doing, you know, we're doing the Lotus Cafe, right? Is we said, look, you know, this requires a certain amount of focus. And if you're trying to do these other things, it's not going to work very well. And this is even something we've talked about, you know,
it's also a matter of slowing down.
Well, yes. And this is something that you and I have, you know, been kind of working through, you know, in different ways, is we've been kind of, you know, the number of, you know, there was a lot of things we were trying to do, and slowly but surely those things just kind of faded away because we realized that they're not, you know, they're not key to what we're doing. And maybe we didn't know exactly what we're, you know, what the plan was, but we figured it out. But by removing all of those you have to still focus where you're at. But the reality is this, you know, that, yeah, there's so many things going on and we're just not there. Right. And, you know, we can't see everything. We can't hear everything now they actually did a study. The study included, Ernst Strugemann's Institute for Neuroscience, Jolie Zhu, a postdoctorate researcher with so and so. Yeah, there's a bunch of they used magno and encephalography or MEG to measure participants' brain activity while they were exposed to Mandarin sentences. Yeah, so convenience sample. They used Chinese folks. Okay, no big deal. In addition, the study used behavioral word prediction tasks, specifically CLOZE tests, CLOZE. I have no idea what those are. I probably should have looked that up. But they assess linguistic prediction by removing specific words from a passage and requiring participants to fill in the blanks. Gee, that sounds like several of the game shows we watch on the Mark Goodson channel.
I was literally going to say, that sounds like some of the fucking tests we took in school.
Not to mention, yes. But yeah, you remember, yeah, one of the game, yeah, but you remember.
Wait a minute. Mad Libs, Bay.
Yeah, it's Mad Libs.
That's a fantastic example of kind of Mad Libs.
Yes. Yeah. Also that game show Body Language that we were watching the other night.
Oh yeah, not something we often watch, but yes.
Yes, because it's when it's on, and yeah. Anyway, but the point is that one of my favorite game shows. Yeah, is basically a fill in the blank thing. It's the study also analyzed brain data from patients exposed to English to confirm that the findings would apply to other languages. Now, the researchers used LLMs to quantify the predictability of words based on both their entropy and surprisal. High entropy indicates that the content does not strongly constrain which words may follow, giving it less predictability. For example, the word after I saw A has a higher entropy than does the word I sat on A, because there are more objects you can see than you can sit on. High surprisal indicates that the next word is not well expected based on the context. For example, the appearance of cat has higher surprisal after I sat on A than does I saw A. Anyway, that I'm confused by all of that, but basically
I understand what it's saying. Basically, all right, if you're having a conversation with someone and they say I sat on a cat, your reaction is going to be one of more surprise than if they said to you I saw a cat. Because it's more common to see a cat than sit on a cat.
Well, thank you for explaining the article to me, honey. Of course, it may be that I got... Anyway, I may be confused here. Now, the study authors then examined how the brain responded to each word, taking into account the level of predictability of the words. The key comparison, the researchers note, was to correlate the word responses between brain data predictions and LLM model predictions of the same sentences. If the brains were just like next word prediction devices, such as LLMs, these correlations should be uniformly high. By contrast, variance would suggest a different process as it worked. Now, the results showed that the brain reacted differently to words depending on their linguistic structural position. This indicated that participants were taking into account grammatical constituents and anticipating next words. Now, by contrast, LLMs don't require or reflect such sensitivity to linguistic constituent structures. They simply offer predictions. Yeah, because you just throw the thing into an LLM. It's like, yeah, okay, you know, we're going to guess. And it's all, it's a bunch of prediction engine. It doesn't know what the hell is going on. Anyway, like, I don't know. I just, I don't think this did a good job of proving the point. It's like, yeah, human brains work differently than LLMs. Film at 11, you know.
Another water is wet.
Yes, exactly. So, I find this. Yeah. Anyway, I'm done with this story. Let's hopefully you got a hopefully before we get to last call, the last story for the second half here. You have a better story than I do.
I'm not sure if I have a better story. This one might kind of rub people the wrong way. I know it sort of did me, but we'll dig into it because something is happening to America's moral code.
What the hell is the world coming to?
So the late political scientist James C. Scott endorsed what he called anarchist calisthenics, the regular practice of small acts of lawbreaking and disobedience, jaywalking at an empty intersection, having a beer in the park, smuggling a pudding cup past the TSA agents. The point, Scott said, was to keep the civic muscles strong. Without constant reinforcement, these muscles will atrophy, and when real tyranny arrives, the flabby citizen will be powerless to resist. Yeah, sounds a lot like the COVID mandates and, show us your papers. Must triple mask.
Yeah, COVID man, thunk.
Exactly. So Scott particularly enjoyed telling Germans to get their reps in because their grandparents had not. Now, on Wednesday, a douchebag podcast hosted by some Twitch twat who streams and some journalists with little to no integrity were discussing lawbreaking, which they both endorsed not as a habit of mine, but as a resistance to actual tyranny today.
What?
Right. So they agreed that shoplifting from grocery stores such as Whole Foods is laudable because every major food grocery chain steals from workers and customers. Now, I'm not going to definitely say that I disagree with that. The fact that they steal from... Anyway. So streaming services, they specifically name Spotify, which carries the woke-ass podcast they were doing, are bad for creators and they say worthy of being ripped off. The first douchebag said he would steal cars if he could get away with it, and the other encourages people to steal from her own employer. Now, they're more circumspect about violence against people. Both giggled in their way to a no when the other host asked if they endorsed murdering executives of a health insurance company or burning down companies they dislike. Now, both accused health insurance companies of social murder and used that concept to explain why Americans might react with actual murder. Are you kidding me? Like, you're literally justifying murder under the guise that, oh, corporate America is shitty. Well, film at 11 that corporate America is shitty. It doesn't mean you go around murdering their fucking employees, even if they are the CEOs or whatever. Like, these people are fucking mental.
Yeah, no shit. I mean, I'm kind of sitting here going, you know, hey, I had a lot of shit happen to me in my life, and I didn't turn out to be an asshole. I'm actually doing good things with my life, you know?
I absolutely do.
Yeah, and the people that just kind of throw up their hands, like, oh, we'll be nasty like those guys. Well, you give what you get, right? This is what comes around goes around. All that stuff doesn't matter. And you know what? Like I said, I could have easily turned out to be with all the shit that I've talked about, you know, in front of the mic and behind the mic and all of that. There's, you know, I'm surprised I'm still standing here I'm still here and I'm still positive. I'm still showing up. I'm still, you know, I still have hope in humanity. And I know that things are getting better. I can see it. I can feel it.
We will be the change we want to see. Yeah. And I encourage all of our listeners to do the same.
Yeah. But the point being is it's just, anyway, like I, But the people that, yeah, they, it's like they want to be like them. Okay, fine. Well, we don't have to listen to you fuckers. So let's go on, you know?
So getting back to the severe douchiness of these people and their validation for their actions, they reference the Les Miserables character who stole the loaf of bread to feed his family, but offering a modern example of virtuous theft, citing why should they have to pay for organic avocados. First of all, why does your pretentious ass need a fucking organic avocado? Eat the fucking Mexican avocados the rest of us have to consume that aren't fucking ripe. They taste like dirt. But moving on. So mouth breather number two thinks we've got to get back to cool crimes. These things include things like Louvre heists, bank robberies, stealing priceless artifacts, things of that nature. Crime to these people appears to be a series of Thomas Crown affairs, punctuated for some reason by free guacamole. So the journalist in this decides to show her true nature by listing the immoral acts that unsettle her conscience. Are you ready for some of those? Well, they include things like getting iced coffee in a plastic cup, going on vacation in so many planes, and failing to organize workers. Wow, such first world problems. However do you cope, madam? Yes, because the garbage they're proposing is so much less offensive than a plastic cup or an airplane ride. It's difficult to take any of this seriously, especially from someone like douchebag number one, who's compared America unfavorably to China and Cuba, two countries where, by the way, you'll be thrown into a dark hole if you do so much as an anarchist jumping jack. What is really going on here? Something's happening with our moral code. In reference to the two people spoken about in this article, to them, it seems theft is fine as long as you don't have to look anyone in the eye when you do it, and as long as you get away with it. So, okay, they're promoting, you know, retail anal sex. Basically, as long as I don't have to look at you as I fuck you in the ass, it's all right. Now, conveniently, corporations have no faces, therefore, there is no coincidence that the CEO of United Healthcare was shot in the back. Direct quote from this article. So, the journalist even softens her actions by calling shoplifting micro-looting, a euphemism whose purpose is to avoid the inglorious term shoplifting because, as we all know, shoplifting is what children and petty criminals do.
Let me start this off by clearly stating that I'm better than everyone.
Now, for those of you who don't know, Dr. Martin Luther King said civil disobedience should be done openly, lovingly, and with a willingness to accept the penalty, because to be penalized for a righteous act only multiplies the act's merit. You have to break the law proudly, not break it, then run away to another state and get caught with a fake ID in a McDonald's. Getting clubbed because you refused to use the bathroom designated for your race, that's something your grandchildren will brag that you did. It makes one wonder what's wrong with people who feel like they're on an odyssey against a comparable injustice, but who evade responsibility for shoplifting produce. Now, I will say, the reason I pulled this story is because I remember reading one, and I might have even possibly covered it, about Whole Foods jail when you get caught shoplifting. And these douchebags who, it's like a fucking habit and a thrill for them. They'll go in and, like, steal a sushi plate or some other whatever, and then, like, they do it all the time until one day they get caught. And they just, they have that same exact mentality as these two fucking idiots about, oh, well, you know, corporate America fucks us, so fuck them. No, no, there are laws in place in this country for reasons, okay? Would you, if you were the owner of a company, would you want someone holding that belief against you? I know you can probably self-righteously sit there and say, oh, blah, 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 blah. Guess what? No. You don't want somebody stealing from you. Don't steal from someone else. I'm not being biblical here, but quite honestly, thou shalt not steal.
Film at 11.
Exactly.
All right. So that was your last story, right?
It was.
Okay. So it's time for the last call.
No, I'm not done yet.
Oh, God.
So do you have any last call stories?
I have nothing for the last call. It was hard enough to scrape together the stories. There wasn't a lot of stuff that popped out this week.
Oh, I got one that'll pop out for you for a story.
That's
here.
The after party.
Yeah. Okay. So the world. Okay. So this is a great story. World's biggest condom maker warns of price hikes.
I've been looking out for your sex life since high school.
Now the first order effect of the U.S.-Iran conflict.
The fuck.
Yeah, the first order effect of the U.S.-Iran conflict and the resulting shutdown of the Hormuz choke point was the disruption of global energy flows from liquid natural gas to crude to refined products. The second order effect was a spike in petrochemical prices and a widening shortage of key industrial inputs. Now the third order effects are beginning to hit everyday goods, with Malaysia-based Carex, the world's largest condom maker, warning that prices are about to explode. Carex CEO
explode.
Yeah, exactly. Anyway, their CEO spoke with Reuters in an exclusive interview about his plan to hike condom prices by 20-30% and possibly more as the war in Iran continues to disrupt supply chains and drive up critical input and shipping costs. So, yeah, even condoms are going up.
That's too easy. Yeah.
Well, this is... Well,
hold on, though. So basically what you're telling me is because petroleum prices are increasing, now raincoat prices are increasing.
Yeah.
It's going to be more expensive to dip your dick.
Yeah. I didn't pull the story for this, but this is also, remember how I told you Delta Airlines was like, hey.
Even when the prices of gas go down, yeah, we're not reducing prices.
Yeah. United said the same thing basically. So, yeah.
How does that have any relevance to condoms?
No, because they're just using it as an excuse to raise the price.
Well, no shit.
Exactly. All right. I got one more for you. And I could not.
Hold on. Before you drop in your last story, this sounds to me like a classic case of...
So big penis!
Oh, yes. Well...
Because imagine, okay, a regular size condom. Then imagine a condom for larger fellows. That's more material they have to try to, you know... that's more material they use to make these products. So yeah, I think you can put two and two together on that.
Yeah, I probably can. Well, okay.
Got a big dick? It's going to cost you extra.
That's right. Well, okay. So now my last story, I could not let this one go. The Oakland Blazers started as an April Fool's joke. Now the merch is real.
Fool you.
Call it a tale of two holidays. The Oakland Blazers, a cannabis-themed alternate identity of the Pioneer League champion Oakland Ballers, that announced April 1st, as an April Fool's joke, has rounded the bases into a full-blown reality on 420 with the team's announcement via Instagram that it is now taking pre-orders for fan merchandise that includes two styles of ball cap, a trucker hat and a jersey with Oakland Blazers across the front, a pot leaf on the left shoulder, and the number 510, which is the area code for that part of the world.
Phone boy, I want one of these fucking jerseys, my man.
Yeah.
These things are smexy. You need to post the link. I need this in my life.
Yeah. Let's see if I can actually pull the link here from the story, because I think I do have it here. Oh, look at that.
These things are fantastic looking.
Oh, yeah. So I'll put a link to that. And I'll make sure to put a link to that in the show notes, because why not? You can buy the, they actually do. They sell the stuff here. I'll put it in the chat here too. I somehow like this idea, even if I'm not from Oakland and have never been,
it's because it's unique.
It's because it's unique, but it is something that's definitely Bay Area, right? I mean, hell yeah. Originally from the Bay Area. Yeah. I can theoretically represent Oakland, not that I'm the whitest person. I'd probably be the whitest person in Oakland though, if I went.
White and nerdy, baby.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, I think we're done, honey. I think we've actually gotten through all the stories. Are we done? Maybe? Possibly?
Well, that's about it, really.
What?
Surely you can't be serious.
I am serious. And don't call me Shirley.
Fuck it. I gotta go.
Yeah, we gotta go. We have had so much fun doing this for you today, but truly...
I'm so fucking over this.
It is time for this to be over.
I got an idea to end all this bullshit.
Jordan fades back! Swoosh! And that's the game!
Fuck you, fuck you, fuck you. You're cool. And fuck you, I'm out.
You're still here? It's over. Go home. Go.